Welcome to the Space Show, Ron.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me here today.
Ron, what's GPS? We hear a lot about that in the news media. What exactly GPS?
GPS is the Global Positioning System. It's the latest method of tracking mainly aircraft and missiles. The American Space Agency's put these satellites up and gives us a free facility that there's no charge at all. You can see where you are anywhere in the world.
So what can you exactly do with it?
GPS is involved right now in Australia in some areas that are pretty interesting and very, very important. And some of the ones like search and rescue, exploration, mining exploration, surveying. We can use GPS to survey. It's basically a triangulation using satellites. And would you like to know a little background about what happened, how it became?
Yes, please, Ron.
Well, Andrew, you might pick a very slight Canadian accent here. I've been in Australia about 20-some years. You'd think you'd lose it. But in America, 30 years ago, when Russia first put up a Sputnik, the Americans didn't take very long to learn that if they tracked the Sputnik using their radio equipment and they watched it cross the sky, it wasn't very long they could see where they were by triangulation method. And so they put up satellites called transit system. And the transit system, although being very slow, it really worked. And you could be in a very isolated area with no known way of getting a fix and triangulate off this satellite and eventually find out where you were as a latitude and longitude. Although it was very slow because it was one satellite and it had to move across the sky. And if you waited a whole day, you got a better fix because the more times you read off the satellite, the better you got. Down the way, what happened, of course, is this became very interesting, and Americans realized they could put up their own satellites and get their own fix, and that was the same thing you would do with a ship where you have a sextant and you take readings off stars and you triangulate to find out where you are using time and that. Well, it's basically the same thing, but now they're putting up these new GPS satellites. There's a full constellation, or close to a full one now, which means we have 24-hour coverage, and what a GPS does is it actually takes a reading off each satellite, takes the satellite number, satellite number 3, it says, I see you there today, just like a radio signal. But then it does a time delay and finds out how far away it is. And when that happens, it then says, right, I got you number 3, and it looks for the next one. And when it gets 3 satellites, it says, well, if 3 is there, 6 is there, and 13 is there, I must be here in the world, and gives you a latitude and longitude. And then if it gets 4 satellites, it can actually give you height above sea level. So you have X, Y, and then Z. And that becomes very, very important to a lot of people, not only ships being lost in the desert. Now, if you're made interested how I got involved with this, being from northern Canada in mining, most of my life has been in remote places. And I came to Australia and worked in places like Mary Kathleen and Leinster and setting up remote mine sites, and I saw the implication to it. And I was invited onto a $20 million yacht a few years ago, about 5 years ago now, and I was with Pico Walzen setting up a remote mine. And on this yacht was a GPS system, and I had never heard of it. But the pilot said, this is this new machine that can tell us where we are as we sail around the world. And I said to him, I wonder if that would work in the desert. And he says, I don't see why it wouldn't. And I thought, well, if it worked in the desert, our company would be very interested in looking at it, and I've never done anything else since. So since then, that day, I've been working 5 years just studying development of GPS systems.
So what products have you developed then to assist these people in the desert?
Right. Well, I haven't actually developed the product. The Americans have done that, and they've put up these satellites now so that they could, you know, guide missiles and guide the 747s and know where they are. It's not for your use or my use in the bush. But what happens is it's always sending down this signal. It's free. It's 24 hours a day now. And anywhere in the world you go, if you had a little GPS system, you put the little antenna up to the sky, and within 2 minutes, it gives you latitude and longitude. And that is accurate, usually under 18 meters. And that's all the time. Now, from my mining background, I saw the application this would have. So I took this very basic product off a ship. And there was no portable ones made those days. And, of course, bush people need portable things. So I took this great big one from it was a JRC off a ship, was going to be put on an ocean fast boat. I went to Kmart and bought the biggest camera bag they had, and I bought a 12-volt battery and put it in the camera bag, and I went to the mining companies and said, here, I'm going to sell you a portable GPS system. And it was funny, and it was very difficult to talk the first people into trying it even, but it worked. And didn't go overnight, but we've built up a very, very good business in this field right now.
Obviously, you've come a long way since then, of course.
Well, that's right. The first GPS I had was a JRC. It was off a ship and weighed 8.9 kilograms. I've got one in my briefcase right in here that's in the ounces. That was only a single channel, and it was very slow, but it worked well, and they still do. But the new ones nowadays, we have techniques where we can increase your accuracy into the centimeters with differential techniques and so on. So it really has come a long way. But basically, it is just a point positioning method in the world, and it goes latitude and longitude. The little machine says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. 0.6 of a second, and most of them are 1 second.
So we're in the bush. We now know where we are. But, of course, by linking this technology, this positioning technology, with communications technology, you are into a much more powerful sort of usage of this space technology, aren't we?
Well, that's right, Andrew. That's why I'm here with OTC and Telecom today, because what we wanted to do at first was just to know where we were, and it worked very well. But then you realize that there's other things you can do with that information. For an example, the GPS always says, I'm here, I'm here. If you had it on a four-wheel drive and you had a way to get that data, the latitude and longitude, back to a base, you would be able to let your base know where you were if you were hurt, or that as a safety device, for an example. And down the way from that, I've done a lot of jobs with the police for police tracking of cars and with trucks and trains and so on, because it's always saying latitude, longitude. If you connect that with some kind of a communication link, what you do is you send the data back. So we have done things like written software that would allow us to digitize a map, scan a map into a computer, and you see a street map of Melbourne in this case. And if you had one of our pieces of equipment on your vehicle, you'd see which street it was driving on. We've even got good enough to show you probably what driveway you're parked in. And if you think about it, there's terrific applications to that. There's the safety one. Search and rescue, you can coordinate a search very well, because you could put a scan in the map of Victoria and you'd see where all the fire trucks were, all the SAS vehicles are. We've done things like monitor forest fire, tell them where to put the spoil of a dredge out in the ocean, you know, just by using satellites.
So just to get this quite clear, we have a detector on board the vehicle, say a fire truck, which picks up a signal from the GPS or Navstar satellites. Mm-hmm. That is information is then encoded and then relayed by either satellite or by terrestrial communications.
Yes.
To a master base.
That's right.
Yep. And the master base then keeps track of these vehicles and then can order where they go or whatever.
Well, that's right. If you would like, I'll give you an example we've just done quite recently was in the coal fields, because the link between the vehicle and the base has to be made some way. It's either a radio, or in this case we're using Inmarsat C. But in a local area you'd use a radio, and in the coal fields, for instance, we've tried to put these now onto the haul packs, and every 10 seconds or whatever you want it to do, it says where it is, but it also can monitor the whole truck. So you could have a sensor on the motor that shows the engine water temperature, so that is sent back also. And you could have a sensor, which we do have, that says the oil pressure. So, and you could then, because it's a computer, you could put flags to say, if it gets less than, beep. So we can actually monitor the truck. Now, that's the easy one, because they're not far away from the base. But where the Inmarsat C comes into it, and it's magic for this, is that we could put one of these on a truck, and we have it on today. It's on this big truck outside here now. And if you were in, say, my hometown in Canada, I could actually go to my computer and ask the computer where the truck was. If I had an Inmarsat C connected, and there's one on this truck, and the computer would actually poll that truck and say, what's your latitude and longitude? And the truck would answer back, like a handshake, off a satellite, and I could track it anywhere in the world. So that becomes extremely valuable information.
That's assuming, of course, that the truck is properly equipped and that the equipment switched on.
Yes, well, we've built some fail-safes into that. One of the pieces of equipment I have here is, too bad this is radio, but I'll take it out as I'm talking. One of the pieces of equipment is a little flat box that used to call a black box, but now it's called an engine. And this little thing here I'm showing Andrew is about the size of a two decks of cards put together.
Yes, I was just thinking that. If you laid two decks of cards alongside each other, you'd have about the exact size of this unit here.
Right, and it's very light. You can feel that?
Oh, it probably only is about 200 grams at most.
Right, well, inside there, the 8.9 kilogram machine I had at first, this would outshine that so much it's hard to believe, and that's only about 4 years ago. This is a full 8-channel, 8-satellite model, picks up 8 satellites. It's made by Trimble. It's called an SV6. It has, if you notice here, there's got no screen. It has a place to plug an antenna. I've got the antenna in my hand. It is not much bigger than a 50-cent piece, a little bit. That's the antenna.
This is amazing. This is about
GPS antenna, right?
Yeah, this is an antenna. It weighs about 300 grams, I guess. And it's about 5 centimeters across, no more than that. It's circular, and it's about 1.5 centimeters thick. That's amazing. And that actually picks up the satellite signal.
That's for the GPS. So this little thing here, this little antenna, actually picks up the satellites, picks up to 8 satellites at one time, and tells this little engine, as Americans call it, we're using that term here now too, all the information about those satellites, not just where they are, because you need to get it fixed, but it also scans them and tells all the data. Now, I'll tell you in a few minutes about differential techniques, but what happens is that you need all the data sometimes to get really accurate readings. You don't just want to know where they are. You need a lot more than that. But if you look at the box first, you see that has two RS-232 computer plugs.
Yes.
So the antenna plugs in here, power plugs in here, and you plug a computer in here. Now, because it hasn't got a screen, if any of you out there listening know about a GPS, you know they've got a little push-button pad somewhere with an LCD screen. Because this hasn't got one, it'll work without one, but you have to some way get that information out of it. It's useless like that. So what we do is we plug your own computer into that, and then your computer becomes a GPS with an 8-channel differential-capable machine. And that little antenna then becomes a complete GPS system. Why I'm showing it to you is because you build this into the truck dash, and it can't be turned off. The truck driver doesn't even have to know it's on, right?
You know? Yes.
Let's assume we wouldn't do that, but you don't have to know. You can easily build that into the dash so it can't be turned off. It can even have its own power supply. So that you could actually build one in your Porsche car. By the way, not that expensive, everyone, but you could build in your car, and you could ask your computer where your car is if it's stolen. It's possible to do that.
How much would one of these units cost?
You won't believe this, because the first one I sold was 8.9 kilograms, was $12,000. This one, it's the first one we've got in the country. It's about $1,400 Australian dollars.
So that's pretty affordable for people. If you can afford a car, you can certainly to have one of these in.
That's right, and that's what the technology is doing.
Okay. Now, so you'd expect these to go in things like taxis and, as you said, fire trucks and police cars and so on, that sort of thing. But you wouldn't expect one in an ordinary domestic car, would you?
Yes. In fact, there's tests being done in Japan and America now where they're built into the car. You probably know most of the new cars, in fact, probably all new cars, are some way computer equipped, right?
Yes.
In the United States, they took 50 of the Oldsmobile Toronados, which are computer-based. The whole car actually is based on a computer, and in the armrest, there is the laptop. You can open up the armrest, you have a full-blown computer built in the car. It's part of the car. It runs the car. So with those 50 Toronados, they have built this technology with it, and they are now tracking those Toronados all the time anyway. And it's a big test, and it's been very, very successful. I've got all the information on it, very, very successful. Now, that can have a street map. We can show a little dot moving up the street. You can look at the dash of your Toronado, see a map of where you are. You'll see where the traffic lights are ahead of you. We're even looking at, down the way, having things like, if there's an accident, the computer could be told, and it would say, "Don't go that way," you know, or road construction, and we're doing all that. Not just us, but SatTrak in Australia has written a lot of the software ourselves. It's Priority R software. It's called AusTrak. It's our own company, and we're doing it ourselves, and so good that we often go over to America and show them.
Right, so there's a market here. I mean, Australia is the world leader here, obviously, and you're in a position to sell this to the rest of the world.
Yes, we have. In fact, we're quoting all over all the time. The quotes I did 2 weeks ago, I did a quote for Pakistan. I've done Romania. This man wants to talk to us. We've done Romania. I've done Latvia within the last month. I've got machines in all the continents easily. I have two GPSs in Russia now, brought over from someone here from Box Hill. Hi, guys. They'll know who they are. I don't know if they want everyone to know, but yeah, it's happening all over the place.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Ron.
Look, it's my pleasure, Andrew. There's a lot happening in this field. I have a newsletter we put out. If anyone would like to, I don't know how you want to get in touch. Can I give them a phone number or an address or something?
Yes, please do, Ron.
All right, we publish a newsletter. And if anyone's interested in getting on the database and getting it from us, just send a fax or a card to SatTrak Australia, Ron Cross is my name, if you want to put that on there, at P.O. Box 390, Fremantle 6160. That's my home base. And we'll put you on a mailing list. You'll get it, even this first monthly one you'll get. And from then on, any way you want to correspond, we'll help you any way we can.
Well, thanks again for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
My pleasure, Andrew. Thanks, everyone.